Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Channeling History. By now, you should know that we're the only show where we speak to the souls that made things happen, brought to you every week on the Pararex Radio Network. I'm Barry Strom, your host, and I'll be doing the channeling tonight.
And I'm Connie Strom, your co-host, and I would also like to thank you all for joining our show. If you'd like to interact with us in the chat room, just go to Pararex Radio Network and click on chat. In our last show, we channeled with Jimmy Stewart, Clark Gable, Audrey Hepburn, and Jackie Coogan. All of these individuals gave up lives of fame and luxury to serve our country. This was a very informative and inspirational show. The video is available on YouTube channel, and the channel is in the name of Barry Strom. And by now, he's got over 540 videos. If you'd like to download the videos, just go to Podomatic.com and search Channeling History. Would you please tell your friends about us so we can continue to grow our audience? Tonight, we're going to channel three past presidents of the United States. We're going to try to get their opinions on our modern government. They will be George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Ronald Reagan. This show should be very interesting and educational.
Yes, it should, Connie. And if we ever needed a disclaimer, we probably need it tonight. So the opinions or statements voiced on our show are the channeled words of the spirits, do not necessarily reflect our opinions, those of the Pararex Network, or of our sponsors. So before we channel, we also say a prayer of protection. So Connie, say the prayer, and we will begin with our three wonderful past presidents.
God, please grant us your wisdom and protection. Grant us the knowledge that we can handle and keep us safe from all things that will harm us. Keep the messages positive and pure love. Keep us safe from our egos. We ask these things in the light of the seen, the unseen, and the honesty of God. Amen.
Okay, Connie, we got some really interesting questions, so let's begin.
Okay, George Washington, who was the first president of the United States, and he was the commander of the Revolutionary Army. Good evening, President Washington. What was your opinion of political parties back in those days?
Well, my opinion was that the president should not represent any party, that it should represent the country, and that it should represent the people. I never professed to be a member of a party. After my term, parties began to exist because there were very huge differences of opinion. But my personal opinion is that there should be no political parties for the president.
I think that too. As you watch from the other side, what is your opinion of the current two major political parties?
I think that they're a perfect example of why I felt there should be no political parties for the president. Today, political parties have incredible power. There are supposedly only two opinions. Each party has its own opinion. And if there happens to be a third opinion, there is little that can represent it. Today, the country is split down the middle. There are thin majorities in both houses, and it is very difficult to govern. Now, an ordinary person would think that when two parties or a country is evenly split, that it should be possible to come to an agreement on what is best for the country. Just the opposite is happening. It seems as though the two parties now seem to hate each other, and the last thing they want to do is get along. So, while my opinions might be a bit outdated, I think that the best thing that could happen to the country is that there would be no parties, and individuals just simply would vote and decide what is best.
That is exactly what I've been thinking, sir. Through the years since you were president, there have been multiple amendments to the Constitution. What do you consider the amendments that have worked best for our country?
I think the amendment that is worst best is probably the 13th, the one that eliminated slavery. Coming from me, that might seem a bit hypocritical, but as you know, I own many slaves. I had much property, and in the late 1700s, slavery was basically a way of life in the South. I knew that slavery was in opposition to our Constitution that stated that all men are created equal. But I did little to give them their rights. I regret that. But I think that President Lincoln had the nerve to free the slaves, and I feel that after the 13th that all men truly are accepted as equal, and that was, in my mind, probably one of the best.
What do you think are the amendments that have caused the most harm to our country?
I think that when they did the Prohibition Amendment, it created a lot of not only unhappiness, but dissension within the country. I think that the liberalization of interpretation to freedom of religion is a disaster for the country. Today, it is interpreted as freedom from religion, and that was never our intent. We always wanted the country to be one nation under God. Today, the interpretations have driven religion from the schools, from government, from being part of the daily way of life. I think that that interpretation of driving God from government will probably have the most horrific long-term effect.
Indeed. What section of the Bill of Rights is most abused by our modern government?
I think that your modern government abuses much of your Bill of Rights. The Justice Department is basically taking away much of the individual rights. Interpretations by the different agencies. The Internal Revenue Department is running wild with what they can do. There are many areas today that are being abused. The Office of the President is assuming responsibilities that we never intended for them to have. We wanted Congress to have the say in how monies are spent in declaring war, in entering conflicts. So there are many, many areas today where the Constitution, as we envisioned it, is being greatly abused.
When you were president, how difficult was it to find compromise?
It was very difficult. If you look at how long it took for us to write the Constitution, there were many states that were opposed to many of the words that we put into the document. We had to add the Bill of Rights. It was a very difficult time in our country. But we did come together, and we came up with a document. I don't think anyone was totally happy with it, but we understood that we had to compromise.
If you were president today, what would be your first objective?
My first objective would try to bring back physical sanity to the country. There is an incredible abuse of financial responsibility. The country has run up a debt that it will never be able to pay off. They continue to spend like there's no tomorrow. I would attempt to not spend more money than we brought in. The possibility would be that we would have to raise taxes. The politicians have got to explain to the people that there is no justification. I would protect the border. There is no way that a country can leave in millions of individuals of which you have no idea of their background, and you have no idea whether they can support themselves. I would sit the leaders of the two parties down, and I would explain to them that things have to change, and that compromise is something that needs to definitely become a way of life for them. There are many other things, but I think those three would be the main ones.
Yes, if you were president today, what would you do to have our parties compromise on issues?
I would go to the people. I would continuously use the methods of communications that you now have. I would tell them what I believe is right, and I would do my best to support the best things for the country. But I would use the medium, the media, social media, whatever you have at your disposal, to continuously explain to the people why the parties have to compromise on certain issues. I would continuously try to use what popularity I would have to force them to make the right decisions.
What do you consider the greatest danger to the long-term existence of this country?
As I said earlier, I consider the national debt to be the thing that will undermine the country. It will create inflation, and there will be a time that they just simply cannot keep printing more money.
Yeah, if you were president next week, what would you do to try to get rid of that national debt?
First of all, I would try to eliminate wasteful spending. Huge amounts of money go to private investments that are desired by certain politicians. I would eliminate all of the waste. I would work to raise more funds. I would do what I needed to do to make the most out of the funds. I would negotiate with suppliers. I would do many things. But I would push for a balanced budget, and I would enforce the fact that we do not spend monies that we do not have.
Do you think the form of government in the United States can survive long term?
I fear for the government in the long term. I'm seeing more and more policies that are referred to as, I see policies that are referred to as policies that are not required. I think that the form of government is evolving towards socialism. I think that we are reaching a point that the rights of individuals are being trampled. And I do not believe that if the trend continues, that the country can continue to exist in its present form.
Yeah. One of our listeners would like to know, how would you handle the problem between Israel and Palestine?
That is a very difficult situation. Generational hatred is one of the most difficult situations to find a cure for. I would meet with the powerful Arab countries, and I would attempt to get them to assist. Keep in mind that the Arab countries ignore the Palestinians. I would try to have the other Arab countries allow Palestinians to migrate and to work in their countries and remove as many as possible from the small area of Palestine. But it is a very, very difficult situation.
As you watch from the other side, are there any changes that you would make to the Constitution?
I would make some small changes to the Constitution to make it more adaptive to current times. I would add amendments to offer protections from social media, from propaganda and lies. But the Constitution is a great document. I would still continue to rely on it.
What's your opinion of the way our government's interpreting freedom of religion?
They're interpreting as freedom from religion. And I think that it is the most effective way for people to undermine our government. When we did the Constitution and formed the country, God was very much in control. God was never excluded from any of the meetings that we did. We always prayed. I think that freedom of religion is one of the most important rights that people have.
Okay. Today, lobbyists exert a lot of influence on our government. How would you reduce the effects of the lobbyists?
I would make sure that the lobbyists had to disclose who they were giving money to and how much money. I would enforce the rules. I would try to set limits into how much any organization could give to a single politician. I would make full disclosure of wealth for every elected official mandatory. I think if the people realized how much money the politicians made, that they would look at them much differently.
Do you think the United States will ever be in danger of becoming a socialist country?
Not under the name socialism, but possibly under the name democratic socialism. I see many of the policies that are taking place, and we currently have many policies. Social Security, for instance. There are many social programs. There are programs that are required, but I do think that it's possible for the country to migrate to what you would refer to as a democratic socialist type of government.
Yeah. What changes would you make to our educational system?
I would restore choice to the educational system. I would allocate funds for each student, and I would allow that student to make the choice as to the schools that they would like to attend. I would establish many, which would be true, I guess, as a charter school, but I would encourage the gifted. I would do all that I could to advance education in areas where the students can receive jobs.
President Washington, we really appreciate your joining us this evening. Do you have a final message for our listeners?
Yes, I do. I would like all of the listeners to focus on the rights your inalienable rights. Today, government is slowly taking away those rights. Sometimes you do not realize what they are doing undercover, in secrecy. I would demand that the justice system is truly on an equal basis and footing for all. I would investigate any type of illegalities, and I would prosecute them. I would assure that all institutions follow the Constitution. So thank you so much for allowing me to speak. I appreciate that you're still thinking about me. And I hope that all of you have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, sir. Okay, next up is President Abraham Lincoln. He was the first Republican president and served during the American Civil War. He faced a lot of problems that were unique to his presidency. So welcome, President Lincoln. What did your election trigger, or why did your election trigger the American Civil War?
The Southern states realized that I was going to be a strong advocate to eliminate slavery. They had been fighting over it for many, many years, and I made no secret of what my desires would be. So they knew that when I was elected, it was inevitable that there would be many things taking place that the Southern states would resist.
Why did you think it was so important to save the Union?
I felt that the United States was the most important country in the world at that time. I felt that if we had two separate countries, the North and the South, that there would just simply be a time that there would be war between the two sides. If the Southern states were allowed to secede from the Union, I felt that it would be a point of no return. It would be the end of the country.
Yeah. Habeas corpus is the legal protection for detained people to argue in court that they're being held illegally. During the war, you suspended the right of habeas corpus. Why did you take that action?
I felt that it was critical that Southern sympathizers would be kept in jail. I did not want them using the legal system. I realized that it was wrong, but I felt that nothing should interfere with saving the Union.
Do you think it's appropriate today for the president to ignore the laws of the country?
It might sound a bit hypocritical, but I think that since the country has grown to the extent that it has, and in so many instances the rights of the people are being trampled, that it's more important today for the president to follow the laws. Now, it's possible that at time of war that there have to be situations and exceptions. The internment of the Japanese was illegal, and I feel that it was wrong, and it should have never taken place. But I do understand why the president made that decision at the time, because there were Japanese agents working in the United States.
The Supreme Court ruled that you did not have the right to suspend habeas corpus, but you basically ignored that ruling. Do you think there should be penalties for ignoring the Supreme Court today? And if so, what do you think should be the penalty?
I think that there are times where special decisions need to be made. I think that the extent and severity of how the president views wartime decisions should play a role. I definitely think today that if a president does not follow the Constitution and legal authorities have found that he has done so, that there should be penalties. Keep in mind that you always have the ability to impeach a president.
Do you believe there's any part of the Constitution that's obsolete and should be changed today?
I think that there are parts of the Constitution that should be enforced differently today. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, individual rights. I think that they need to be protected. Today we're seeing the Judicial Department do things contrary to people's rights. Acts of terrorism have created policies that the government can act without getting the proper authorities. I think that the Constitution is an incredible document. There are, in reality, in my mind, very few changes that should be made. The liberalization of the Constitution can only lead to serious problems in the future.
What is your opinion of the current president of the United States?
There are certain areas that he is doing a good job, but there are areas where he is creating great problems for the country. The concept of open borders in this time of terrorism, anytime you do not control your borders, you are creating a problem. This was not a situation in my time because we were looking for immigrants. We needed people. Today is much different. You still need immigration. You need people coming in that can work, that can be leaders, but you have to control who enters a country. Times have changed. There are many, many people in this world that hate the United States. You have no idea who is crossing those borders. I fear that there will be a time in the near future that there are acts of terrorism within the country from people that were allowed to enter that we had no control over.
Current presidents make use of executive orders. What do you think should be the limits of an executive order, or do you think executive power should be unlimited?
No, there should be controls to executive powers. This is a tricky issue. There are times that executives need to make decisions. For instance, if we're attacked, if there's an act of war. Today, there are situations that the military has information for that the people should not know. The members of Congress need to work closely with the president. Today, there is such a split in government that the president is inclined to make decisions. I think that many of the decisions that he does should not be made. The people control Congress and they control the president. It is only through the cooperation of those two agencies that progress can be made.
Do you think there should be a balanced budget amendment?
I think that currently the huge national debt is a definite risk to the future of the country. Government needs to be run like a business. Now there are times that you need to spend more than you take in. When wars occur, they're very expensive, especially today. I think that there is little control over what military suppliers charge the country. I think that there is a lot of waste. I do believe that if waste and corruption are controlled or eliminated, that there will be far more money. I think that the true cancer to our budget is what many of the politicians are doing to feather their own nests. Politicians don't make a whole lot of money, but they got huge growth in their net worth. I think that there needs to be a committee that investigates net worth growth of every politician in the federal government. They take advantage of inside information, and they certainly do not do what is best for the country.
As you watch today, you see our military in all parts of the world. What do you think should be the rules for military engagements outside of our country?
I think that we have to be very careful in what we do outside of our country. Keep in mind that the advent of nuclear weapons of mass destruction, has changed much. I think that we have to rely on things, on different ways of controlling countries. Boycotts, working together with the democracies, making sure that enemy countries are strangled economically. I think that we have to be very, very careful in getting involved with our troops. But there are times when we are attacked that we have to show the world that we are truly the strongest military. We spend huge amounts of money on the military. And I know that our politicians or chiefs of staff feel that the mere presence is a deterrent. But there are times that you have to show that we are also willing to use that. It has to be peace through strength. That is really the only answer.
Yes. Our current government has problems with compromising. Do you see any way that our current government can be made to compromise on important issues?
The only way that you will ever come up with compromise is to elect people that truly love our country. They have to love the country more than they love the political party. Power is the only thing that they understand today. The people get the government they deserve. If you keep electing idiots, you will get idiotic government. That is just sadly the way it is.
I totally agree. If you were president today, President Lincoln, what would you do to promote cooperation?
I would try to take a middle-of-the-road approach. I would try to pursue policies that were popular with the people. I would use public communications as a bully pulpit. I would go to the people. I would explain. Today, there are so many people lying to the people, to the public. If I would make a point of continuously telling them the truth, at some point, I would hope that it would sink in.
Lobbyists are exerting great influence over our current government by making huge financial investments with the politicians. How would you reduce the influence of lobbyists? That would be a miracle.
I would advocate putting a limit to how much any individual or related company could donate. I would force the politicians to disclose exactly how much money they're receiving. I would make sure that everything was public knowledge. I think the light of information and truth is the only way to stop it.
What's your opinion of how the current government interprets freedom of religion?
I'm appalled by it. Today, you are exempting religion from anything regarding the public. Schools fire teachers that pray in public. The government is afraid to mention religion or God. There are many things that are drawing people away. the Constitution does not provide for freedom from religion. It gives you the right to worship in the way or manner in which you please. Today, the atheists are gaining an incredible amount of power, and they're using every trick to take religion out of government or even the public schools. There'll be a time that they'll take religion out of the churches if people don't respond properly.
What do you see as any limits that should be placed on hate speech in opposition to the freedom of speech as provided by the Bill of Rights?
Very difficult. But you have to allow negative opinion. That is how government should work, listening to both sides of an argument. But when an individual promotes hatred, promotes violence towards others, then that is a limit, and they should be stopped from doing so. Today you're seeing many people in opposition of the Jewish faith. That type of hate speech should not be allowed.
Do you believe the justice system is fairly administered to all?
You can ask that. You can answer that question by asking yourself if you ever see any of the powerful people in government that have broken the laws ever prosecuted, and how many of them do you see going to jail? There are two levels of justice in this country. The common person faces a different set of rules than those with great wealth or political power. Justice has to be fairly administered to all if the government is going to exist into the future.
President Lincoln, thank you so much. Do you have a final message for everybody?
Yes, I do. The United States is the greatest government on earth. It has been through many trials and tribulations. Today, you are seeing many emerging trends that are possible to undermine the future of the country. The country must remain to be one nation under God. You have the ability to understand. You have the ability to not believe. You have free will. God has given everyone free will, and you can use it accordingly. But you must do what is best for the country. If you do not understand the fact that spending beyond your means creates bankruptcy and destroys, then the country is headed down a path that it cannot recover from. Waste must be eliminated. The huge growth in government must be controlled. The bureaucracies that exist today spell great danger for the future. Government has grown to an extent far beyond anything we could have ever comprehended. Common sense needs to be controlling, and common sense needs to be the guiding light. So thank you for allowing me to speak. I truly appreciate it. And remember that all men are truly created equal.
Thank you so much. Ronald Reagan was the 40th president of the United States from 1981 to 1989. He was instrumental in following policies that led to the downfall of the Soviet Union. He's known for being one of our most conservative presidents. So, welcome, President Reagan. You were originally a liberal Democrat, but changed to Republican. Why did you make such a change?
I realized that liberal policies would lead to failure. I realized that, yes, it's good to help the poor. It's good to do handouts, allow anyone into the country that needs to be, that wants to come. But I also realized that those policies will lead to failure. Today, you're seeing many of those liberal policies come to the point that they are truly undermining our country. There are many people that feel that we should welcome everyone into the country. They don't realize or understand the fact that there are many people that hate us. There are many people that don't understand the fact that every individual that lives in this country creates a social expense. If those individuals prove to be incapable of supporting themselves, the government has safety nets, but we are only capable of doing so much. I believe that the Founding Fathers created founding documents that were basically very conservative. I think that they gave an incredible outline that has survived for hundreds of years, and I feel that the Constitution is the true way that we needed to govern. So I changed and became very conservative in my beliefs.
What do you think about today's Republican Party?
I think that different factions of the Republican Party have grown so strong that they are accomplishing nothing. Internal bickering within the party has weakened it to the extent that they are alienating people that would otherwise vote for them. I think that the party needs to take a step back and needs to compromise within themselves. When the Republican Party goes back to their roots and works together, they can provide a system of government that lays a strong foundation for future growth. I think that the current party has lost their way. I think that they should be following policies that the people support. I think that they should not be following policies of the far right, but should be compromising and following simple, basic conservative principles.
What do you think about the Democratic Party today?
I think in many ways the same arguments hold for them. They are following many policies that will be self-destructive for the country. In many ways, they mean well. I think that the radical policies of climate change are very dangerous. Any party that tries to eliminate air conditioners and gas stoves, the items that the average person needs so much to live by, I think that they are truly on the wrong path. I think that out of the Democratic Party promotes outrageous, wasteful spending in many ways. They've promoted many things that have been touted as environmental benefits, but have been failures. I think that the liberal wing of the Democratic Party is incredibly dangerous. I think that both parties should compromise and follow a path that can truly benefit all of the people in this country.
Why do you think the parties won't cooperate for the good of the country?
Power, money. All they want is power. They want the ability to control. They want the ability to have access to the great funds of this country. They have differences of opinion. And basically, each of them feel that they are right. And each party has introduced hatred towards the other.
You made the statement, government is not the solution to our problems. Government is the problem. How do you think that statement applies today?
I think it applies more than it did when I was president. Today, government has grown out of control. There are bureaucrats making decisions that elected officials should make. The parties hate each other. There's no cooperation. There's no attempt to do what is best for the country. Each party thinks that its own ideals are the be-all and end-all. When government is out of control, like it is today, there can be no good in the future.
Yes. If you were president today, what would you do to fix our problems?
It would be an incredible challenge. I would begin by trying to reduce bureaucracy. We have agencies in government that serve no purpose. I would enforce work rules that are different. I would make it possible to get rid of employees that do not work, that do not show up. I would try to address both parties. I would try to come up with ideas and policies that the people supported. And if the parties opposed them, I would speak to them every day, if necessary, to the people. It would be an almost impossible challenge at this time.
Okay. What would you do to address our national debt?
First of all, I would reduce the incredible waste of spending. I would negotiate better deals with suppliers, and I would eliminate the different projects that serve no great purpose. Every politician tries to take as much money back to its district as it possibly can. I would try to eliminate those projects. I think that the only way that the government can truly move forward is term limits. I would try to get a national amendment for term limits of politicians. I think that they should not be able to serve a lifetime. And I would have rules showing how each elected official earns their money, where it comes from. I think there are many things that you can do to promote good government, but it would be a very difficult task the way things have gotten out of control.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with you. What country do you consider our most dangerous enemy? I mean, we have been told by God himself that there are countries that we think are our friends and they're not.
I do not think that there is a single country. Iran, because of their thoughts on martyrdom, I think that if they get a nuclear weapon, they will use it. China has long-term aspirations to be the most powerful. Russia is a failing empire, but they still think that they are the military leaders of the world. I think that Russia is getting himself in a position where they will be destroying the country, and what they do with their nuclear weapons at that point is going to be a great question. But I think that those three probably represent the greatest threat to our country.
How would you handle those countries if you were still in the White House?
I would make sure that our military was by far able to handle disputes with all three of them at the same time. I would let them know that there are repercussions for their actions. I would work strongly with the other democracies to create boycotts. I would put economic pressures on them with China. I would put trade restrictions, and I would do things that would economically affect their future. Iran, I would totally isolate, and I would inform them that there is no way they would be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. I think that Iran, because of their belief structure, is an extremely dangerous country.
What do you consider the purpose of government?
Government should make lives better for the people that live under them. They should respond to the will of the people, and they should follow what the majority wishes.
Okay. Do you think our political system is going to survive into the distant future the way it is?
I do not think it will survive unless changes are made. It is impossible for a country to work without having compromise and having people work together for the betterment of the people. Today, you have politicians that only care about themselves. The people get the government they deserve, and sadly, that is a fact. But I would try to affect truth in advertising, so to speak. I think that there have to be platforms where neutral information is given to the people. Neither party is telling the truth. Sadly, that goes for Republicans and Democrats.
Do you think there's anything that can be done to limit the power of the lobbyists?
I think that there have to be restrictions on how much money can be spent. The oil companies basically run the country. They have got such wealth that they can expend billions of dollars towards political pressure. They have dark money. They have money that works behind any walls of truth. I think that foreign entities have to be restricted in how much money they can put into the political system. And when foreign countries work to undermine our political system, I think that there have to be economic and political repercussions for them. I think that the United Nations has to be restructured. And I think there are many things that now need to take place.
We're seeing scholastic scores dropping and histories being taken out of our schools. What steps would you take to improve academic achievement?
I would assure that the students have freedom of choice in where they go for education. I would make sure that the government monies do not go to fund educational unions. I would make sure that government funds are not used for political pressures. The educational system is in tatters. I would come up with structures where people can afford inexpensive college educations, and I would assure that people can find jobs and training. Vocational training needs to be put back into the schools, and I would assure that there were quality people that were making decisions about the educational system.
What's your opinion of how the government currently treats the freedom of religion?
I think it's a disaster. Taking religion out of our government and out of our schools will undermine our system in the long term. As I said when I was president, God needs to be in our institutions and our government. God was present when our country was formed, and it needs to be present as we continue to run it.
Do you think there should be any limits to freedom of speech?
I think that hate speech should not be allowed. Dissent needs to be encouraged. But when you call for harming others, for killing others, for hurting people, I think that the laws have to be obeyed. Today you're seeing our young being encouraged to riot, to cause damages, to hurt people. I think that they have to be arrested and prosecuted accordingly. They are like spoiled children. If you allow them, your children, to be spoiled and out of control, then you will suffer the consequences.
Were you aware of the alien presence, and how do you think the government should handle alien disclosure?
I was aware of the alien presence, but there were established rules, and I agreed to follow them. I felt that there was no real advantage to pushing disclosure at that time. We were fighting the Cold War, and we had enough problems. We did not need to have people reacting to the fact that we were being assisted by aliens and extraterrestrials.
President Reagan, thank you so much. Do you have a final message for us?
Yes. The United States is the greatest country in the world. We have the Constitution that will guide us. The further that we allow our politicians to draw away from the Constitution, the more we will have problems. The people will get the government that they deserve. The people need to be educated in truth. Today, it is almost impossible to determine the truth. You have newspapers that support politicians. They do not make any attempt to bring you the truth. Social media, you can hear anything that you want to hear. Today, it is very difficult to learn the truth, but it is only when the people understand what is taking place that government can be improved and the government and that the United States can be assured of a future. So thank you for allowing me to speak. I hope that some of my words will mean action to others. So thank you so much.
I'd like to thank all three of you. You're all wonderful wonderful souls, and I'm glad the country had you for a while.
Okay. In 2 weeks, it's Christmas Eve. It's on a Sunday, so we're not going to be doing a live show in 2 weeks. Next week, we're going to be celebrating our Christmas show. We're going to channel with Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, and they will tell the story of the birth of the Christ child. Don't miss it. Tell your friends. It's going to be very special.
I'd like to thank you all for joining us this evening. I can't believe it, but we've been doing this show for 3 years, and we've been trying to bring you the truth about history by speaking to the souls that live the events. It's only by understanding the events of the past that we can prepare and act properly in the future. So God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you so much for tuning in. As I say, we're trying to do our best to bring you the truth, and I think today was an exceptional show for us. So tell your friends about us. Let them know that there is somewhere that we do try to bring truth. So thank you for listening. Please join us on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Pararex Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to Channeling History. Tune in again next week for another electrifying episode, as we never know who will make an appearance or who will come through the portal. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2020. Our Story Begins by Kevin MacLeod. Licensed through Incompetech.com.